Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, never be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall never be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. I trust my Lord, but never I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be. Oh, I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall never be moved. I shall not be. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. On His word I'm feeding. Oh, He's the one that's leading. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be. Oh, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be. Oh, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Anchored in Jehovah, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be. Oh, I shall not be. I shall not be. Just like a tree by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Amen. You can take a seat. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good. This probably is our last Sunday here, so it's goodbye to the place. Amen. So when the angels of God are open at the end of time, and they look, and they see, and they look, and they'll see, wow, these were all the things that I was doing in the house of God. My, I was here that time, I was there that time. I don't think it will be a small thing on that day. Amen. And we're not here by chance, we're not here by coincidence. If I wanted, I would have been in America, but God wanted me here. Amen. So don't look down on your brother, don't look down on your sister, because God put us together. And God put us together because as we are together, we are a team, we're strong. God knows. You might look down on me, but God knows I have potential. I might look down on you, God knows you have potential. Always lift one another up. Song I want to sing is a good song. It's called Arise and Be Doing. The Lord be with you. Who shall build the Lord's house? A magnificent sanctuary. God's house is our body. God has made our bodies house. So the people may not read the Bible, they may not see God, but they're only going to see me. Amen. And when we're in that condition, when we're in that spirit, many a time, I know some of you will be frustrated with what I'm saying, but Jesus is not. Many a time, an opportunity arises to speak to people. There's so much to be doing out there. That's why I'm singing this song, Arise and Be Doing. There's many people that need to know this gospel. You speak to people at work, Polish people, they tell you the world is going to end very soon. Time is gone. Get in that channel and you'll see time is far. People know that time is far spent. Amen. Oh, prisoners of love, the Master has need of thee. Who shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary? But a people he has chosen to bear his name. Yesterday, today, and forever, his awesome power remains the same. Arise and be doing, the Lord be with you. Who shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary? Arise and be doing, the Lord be with thee. We shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary. Come forth, my sons, with wisdom and skill. My anointing is on thee. Who shall lay any hindrance when I've ordained the victory? Take your hammer and my sword. Be thou courageous and strong. Only believe my word. A paradox I will perform. Arise and be doing, Lord be with you. Who shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary? Arise and be doing, Lord be with you. We shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary. Take forth my yoke, my love slaves. Hey, it's easy and my burden is light. Who shall serve the Lord thy God with all his power, his strength and his might? But a people he has chosen from the depths of a miry clay. Let every lively stone in this place now shout his perfect name. Arise and be doing, Lord be with you. Who shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary? Arise and be doing, Lord be with you. We shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary. Arise. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll work till Jesus comes. When the master of the house comes and he puts all our work, then he'll say, well done, my sons. Let's sing that song. Song I want to sing. Bound for the Promised Land. Amen. On Jordan's stormy banks I cast a wishful eye. What Canaan's fit and happy land where my bosom. Oh, hallelujah, I am bound for the promised land.
am bound for the promised land. Oh, will come, then go with me. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, old extended plains, shines one eternal day. They got the sun forever reigns and scatters night. Oh, I am bound for the promised land, bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promise, for the promised land. Oh, will come and go with me. I am bound. No chilling winds, no poisonous breath can reach that helpful. Oh, sickness and sorrows, pain and death are bitter. Oh, hallelujah, I am bound to the promised land. I am bound to the promised land. Oh, will come and go with me. I am bound to the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place? And forever bliss, which shall I see my Father's face and his bosom. Hallelujah, I am bound for the promise. Oh, I am bound for the promise. Oh, will come and go. I'm bound for the promised land.
Hallelujah, Hosanna.
Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. We are praising Him, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. We are praising, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hosanna. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, oh, Hosanna, oh, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh, oh, we are praising, praising the Lord, oh, oh, we are praising Him, praising Lord, hallelujah. Oh, we praise Him, we praise Him, praising the Lord. Oh, oh, let's praise Him, let's praise Him, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We got the power in the name of. We got the power, we got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot beat him. We can never be defeated. We got the power.
give me your hand.
Let's agree together. Let all our enemies tremble at you. Oh, oh, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in. Whatever we bind in the name of Jesus, set us free. We got the power in the name of. We got the power. We got the power in the name of the Lord. No Satan rages. We cannot be defeated. We can never be defeated. The power in the name of the Lord. Oh, many is now. Satan tried. He tried to stop us, but the church of Jesus is still alive. Like a mighty army, we'll keep marching on, winning every battle with the Lord on our side. We got the power in the name of. We got the power. We got the power in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Satan rages. We cannot beat him. We can never be defeated. We got the power in the name of the Lord.
Morning, saints. We're really glad to be in his house today. Let's open our Bible straight away, get to the word, Matthew chapter 4. Let's read a scripture before we pray. I just want to greet our visitors, Brother Guy and his family. Brother are from Mayo. They're with us. God bless you, brother, and your family. Also, prayer requests. Brother Mike and family going away on family vacation, asking for prayers. May the Lord grant them grace. Thanksgiving from Sister Julie. She's arrived safely. We're sending greetings from Zimbabwe. So we'll put that before the Lord. Let's open Matthew chapter 4. Let's read the first 11 verses, just to help the people who don't normally read their Bibles. It's good to read the Bible. Let's read the 11 verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Amen. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we bring your word unto thee upon this day, just asking of thee, Lord, for your grace once again to be in your word. Father, we know that there's sufficient power in this word, Father, to answer every situation. Father, there's sufficient power just in these scriptures, Lord. Father, Lord, to give us instruction, to give us wisdom. Father, there's sufficient revelation inside of there, Lord, that could keep us going from now to the end of our journey. But Father, we just need your grace in it. Please take your word upon this day. Break it unto us, Lord. Bless your people, we'd pray. Father, we do pray for Brother Mike, his family. Bless them on their holiday. Father, refresh them in body, spirit, and soul, we'd ask and pray. Bring them safely back, Lord. Our sister Julie in Zimbabwe, bless her. She'd meet with the saints that are there and the family, Lord. We do remember them. Brother Vlad coming back this week. Sister Lydia, we pray you give them a safe journey. So glad to see Brother Virgus, Lord, that you gave them a good time. Father, thank you for these seasons and times, Father, with our families. But Father, now we gather in your name. Because, Lord, we want to be better equipped to serve thee. So help us, Lord, we'd ask and pray. Deliver us from evil, we'd pray. Go before us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. Let's just read while you're seated just one scripture and something the prophet said about it from Genesis 15. This is the time in Genesis 15 when the Lord came to confirm the covenant with Abraham. So God had called him. In Genesis 15, Abraham asked the Lord, "How shall I know that these promises that you made to me shall be fulfilled?" And the Lord tells him to take certain beasts, set up the altar, lay a heifer, laid a sheep, whatever it was, and the pieces of different birds in order. And then in Genesis 15, verse 8, this is what we're speaking about. Abraham said, and he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said unto him, "Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece against another, but the birds divided he not. So what he does, he sets up now this altar according to the vision of the Lord. And he lays the sacrifice exactly the way the Lord has told him to lay the sacrifice. So Abraham has received the promise. He's waiting for confirmation of the promise. He's waiting for the Lord to bring forth the very reason that he called him, you know, to bring forth a son. And he says, "Lord, how shall I know it?" And the Lord comes to confirm the covenant with him. And as the Lord tells him to do these things, between the time now that he puts this in order and he lays his sacrifice, this appointed sacrifice on the altar, and the time now that the Lord comes down to confirm that covenant later in the chapter, something took place. Verse 11, "And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away." And friends, that's an important part of everything. It's between the time you receive a promise and the time that the promise is fulfilled inside of your life. You've got to expect the enemy to try to come to pollute your sacrifice. He's got to come in. He's got to try his best to do these kind of things. In Jehovah Jireh, part 1, in 1962, the prophet says, "Now, notice what he did here. He took these three animals, cut them apart, and laid them piece by piece. And then Abraham got back." Now, that was the sacrifice. "And he watched until the sun was going down." So this happened at the evening time. And friends, you're always going to find these vultures and these fowls trying to come down upon the sacrifice at evening time. You know, and you've got to watch the sacrifice. And he says, "And the fowls came down out of the air on Abraham's sacrifice," the vultures, the prophet calls it. "And Abraham cast them out, shooed them away." He says, what is this a type of? Abraham's seed in the last day, casting out devils from the sacrifice. Amen. So you're going to see vultures and foul birds and all these things, friends, are going to come. Where the eagles have gathered around the carcass, the vultures are going to gather as well. Amen. Whenever the Lord is doing something, has laid something for his people, you know, and people are waiting for the fulfillment of something, Satan's going to try to come in there before the fulfillment. He's going to try to bring other things. He's going to bring these foul birds down. Which type? Evil spirits, the prophet said. He says, casting out devils from the sacrifice. Casting away from the sacrifice. God promised it. The sacrifice, Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the message of the hour. So wherever the message is, when we lay, we're trying to restore an altar. You're trying to put the pieces in order. Friends, you've got to expect you're going to have some battle with these kind of spirits. And in the message of the hour, you've got to expect these kind of things. We've got to expect heresies on one side and false doctrines on the other, because it fulfills the type, the prophet says. Abraham and his sacrifice at evening time. The prophet says, the man of God, Abraham's seed, stands there casting out the devils away from it. And you're going to have to do that with your sacrifice as well. Because the moment that you set your face, that you want to really be a living sacrifice unto the Lord, and you determine to lay your life upon the altar, there's going to come these vultures, these demon powers of temptation, and all the whatever seducing spirits can come to try to pollute your altar, to try to defile your sacrifice. So while Abraham was waiting for the fire to fall, for God to come and answer, the enemy tried to come in to take advantage of that situation as well. And friends, I see such a type in the bride of that. I remember Brother George Martin once preached a message on that called, I don't know what he called it, but like the time of delay. And he was showing that always in the delay, you've got to be careful. Amen. He says, when the Lord spoke to, when Samuel said to Saul, I'm going to be coming after so many days, after 7 days. You know, wait for me. And then the pressure came on Saul, and all the children of Israel were leaving the battlefield. In that delay, it says that Samuel delayed to come after 7 days. So what did Saul do now? He forced himself and he offered a sacrifice it wasn't lawful for him to offer. And friends, it's in these kinds of delay, when people think the Lord is delaying his promises or delaying this or delaying that, you'll find this is the time that these things always want to try to come to settle down upon the sacrifice. And the Lord allows it to be so. Amen. Now the Lord allows these things to manifest who's really who. Not to show who, what really is in the hearts of people. I do believe that, and I'm sure you believe the same thing. So the prophet now, he speaks about this principle of spiritual warfare. He takes Matthew chapter 4. We know it. He's got two messages. I've spoken before. We'll take it a different way today. But from harvest time, the prophet is speaking here to the full gospel businessmen. He takes the threefold attack, the assault, he calls, of the devil against Jesus in a certain way in these messages, because he's preaching to Pentecostal people. But then when he preaches this in the tabernacle, he preaches the message, how can I overcome? And inside of here now, he's going to show the principles of how Jesus overcame and the principles for us to overcome as well. And these are tremendous messages. Friends, I really, really love these two messages. There's so much inside of these messages. Especially when you take Matthew 4. There's something powerful about Matthew 4. Now, to see the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. To see him there. You know, and the prophet, he speaks straight away and he says that, now, Jesus was our great example on this. He says he endured all things for you and I. He is our example how to overcome our evil generation. So we have to overcome our evil generation. But he has given us the example. And the way we're going to overcome our evil generation is the same way that he overcame his evil generation. And the prophet says that. He says, as he overcame his evil generation. Remember, when he came to the earth, there's just as much unbelief or more than there is at any time. It didn't bother him a bit. When they called him a devil instead of God, when they called him everything that could be done, it didn't bother him a bit. He had one objective, mind the Father, keep the Word. The Word is God. He had one mind. And friends, it's going to be a lot of things that are going to come to try to pull us this way and that. There's going to be a lot of fusses and contentions. There's going to be a lot of other things that will come. And all it is the working of the enemy trying to get us from minding the Father's business. God has called you for something. There's something that he wants you to do now. There's something of his business that he wants you to be about at this time. Every single one of us have our own callings. And the one thing that Satan wants to do in these kind of temptations and assaults is to get us to pay attention to him. There's always these things, but Jesus was the master. He was the overcomer. He never paid attention to what the devil had to say. No, the prophet says he never minded the devil. He never gave him a lot of attention and got caught up in some big fuss with him. He just told him the word. He just said, it is written. And he just stood upon that foundation because he knew who he was and he knew what he had been raised up for. Jesus didn't have any doubts about who he was. And when Satan came and tried to say to him, if you be the Son of God, trying to get him to doubt, Jesus didn't listen to him. And friends, don't give too much of an ear to the enemy. Amen. Don't spend too much attention with his fusses and his fighting and all of the contentions that he wants to bring up round and about, because you'll miss your purpose. Amen. the very thing that God has called you to do. It's so easy to get caught up fussing and fighting and contending and arguing, all of these kind of things. And what good does it do in the end? Paul said the servant of God should not strive. But the Bible says we should contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So we should stand for the truth. Stand in the post of duty. We shouldn't get caught up in all of these other things, friends. And there's a lot of them flying around. And the prophet says there'll be many more. And when Satan leaves you for a season, he's not going to leave you forever. He's going to come once again and try to disturb and try to pull you this way and that once again. But the important thing, the prophet says, like Jesus, he minded the Father. That was the most important thing. You know, he knew what he was sent to do. He knew what the purpose of God was for his life. It was unfolding and he knew what he was to fulfill. And that was his aim. That was his motive. That was his objective. And anything that came to get in the way of that, he knew this is a temptation. This is a testing time. I need to prevail and I need to overcome over this thing. So the prophet says that Jesus is our perfect example. He, the Son of Man, he overcame his wicked generation, his evil generation in a certain way. He says it here in the message, how can I overcome? I think it is. He says, Jesus showed us how to do it. It's in this one here, yes. On page 22, paragraph 103, he says, Jesus told us how to do it. He overcame. Overcome means to stand the test. Ah, friends, is it nothing as sweet, surely you know it yourself, as overcoming? Because the promises are to the overcomer. The overcomer is promised the hidden manna. The overcomer is promised the new name. The overcomer is promised to sit with him in his throne. But to be an overcomer, there's going to have to be a test. And for Jesus to show himself as the great overcomer, he had to endure the test. And the prophet says that. He says, like all the saints of old did, like Jesus did amidst all his enemies, he stood the test. Everything he was tested against, he stood it. In the face of sickness, him being the Messiah, he healed them. In the face of death, he brought it back to life. In the face of Calvary, his own death, he defeated it by surrendering himself. That's the key. He defeated it by surrendering himself. Friends, this is the great principle the prophet speaks of here. Is that you and I have nothing in ourselves that we can overcome with. In our flesh, in your character, in your nature, in your powers of reasoning, your powers of deduction, and all of the psychology we could learn and in studies, none of that will overcome what you need to overcome. In order to walk with God, in order to fulfill His purpose in your life, you're never going to overcome using those things. The prophet's going to show us what it takes to overcome. The prophet says, he defeated it by surrendering himself. Why? By the word. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. So where did he get the power to overcome? The power to overcome came by the spoken word. But it wasn't the spoken word the way that we think of it. It was that word that was personally spoken about him and personally spoken to him. Now many of us, we read the Bible. Churches read the Bible. But just reading the Bible, we know it ourselves. There's no overcoming power in just reading the Bible. The prophet says the overcoming power is the hidden manna. It's that special portion of the word reserved for God's priests in every age. It says the overcomers overcome by the hidden manna. That manna that was under the Shekinah, that was at the mercy seat, that God had to admit his priests to. Only them that were called could go beyond the veil and eat of that manna. But that manna, it was a special manna. And God says, he that overcomes, I will give him to eat of the hidden manna. And he goes to show that Jesus, he will overcome using this hidden manner. Every step of the way, this personal revelation to himself. The word, when it was anointed and opened up personally to himself and his situation, that's what he used to overcome. He didn't use anything else to overcome. He didn't use the prophets as his great gifts to overcome. No, he didn't. We'll see it in this first temptation. Satan wanted him to use the spoken word, but it wasn't time for him to use the spoken word. Said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He turned fishes, he multiplied the loaves later on when it was the right season. But in this particular season of trial, it wasn't that kind of spoken word that he used to overcome. It was that word that was spoken to him. It was that hidden manna. And that's what he goes on to show. He says, all by the word. He says he overcame in the presence of death. He defeated it. He overcame the presence of hell. He defeated it. In the presence of the grave, he overcame the grave. Death, hell, and the grave. All by the word and humility. That's how he overcame, by the word and by humility. But it wasn't just any word. It was that quickened word. It was that something that God spoke to his situation. Something that was provided and presented to him just at the time that he needed something to overcome. But the prophet said it was the word and humility. Without humility, you can never overcome. The moment we get proud, the moment we get self-confident, the moment we think we know, the moment we have that kind of an attitude, we're better than somebody else, we know better than somebody else, we've already been overcome. Amen. We may be able to quote a lot of things in that condition, but you're never going to overcome the way that Jesus overcame. The prophet says he overcame by the word and humility. He says, there's the real man. There's the real one to make your example. Ah, friends, he's the real example. You know, even when Abraham, he laid that sacrifice on the altar, what did that sacrifice represent? It represented Christ. Every single piece of that sacrifice represented Christ. And Abraham, he had to keep that sacrifice pure, keep that sacrifice right. There were going to come other spirits upon that revelation, come other spirits upon that atoning sacrifice. But he had to drive those things away. And friends, there's one thing I'm seeing in this age. There's a great attack on the name of Jesus. There's people telling you to be baptized in their name. Taking away the name of Jesus. We need to cast out those evil spirits, friends, from the sacrifice. Because those are the vultures and the fowls that are trying to come down now upon the sacrifice in the evening time. There's people that are trying to diminish from the atonement of Christ. Friends, Revelation 5 should teach us that. That all heaven had to keep silent because there was no man in heaven. There was no man on earth. There was no man under the earth who was even worthy to look upon the book. It was only the Lamb. And friends, that's something Satan tries to attack. He tries to raise up this and raise up that. But to the true believer, you know where the source of your overcoming is. It's in Christ. It's in his atonement. It's in your communion and your fellowship with him. That's where the strength and the power comes from. The prophet says, what is the message? He said, it's the body word of the Son of Man. That's what it is. That's what these vultures are going to try to come down upon. And it's your commission and mine to keep it pure. To not allow these things to come down upon our sacrifice. As we wait for the final quickening of the covenant, which is the body change. Friends, let's not allow these things to come and pollute. Because these are things that Abraham had to face in his day. And they're things that we have to face in our day as well. And those vultures were unclean birds. If they came down upon that sacrifice, they would have polluted that entire sacrifice. God would never have answered with fire. God would never have come down after that. So Abraham had to make sure that he set his full attention to watch his sacrifice. To keep his offering from these kind of things when they came in the evening time. And Jesus as well, he knew, because the same devil came to Jesus trying to get him to pollute his sacrifice, trying to get him to pollute what his commission was. The prophet says he's a real devil and you must recognize him real. Don't ever forget that, friends. The devil is on your case and is on mine. He is. But he doesn't come in that kind of a way. He comes through depression, he comes through discouragement, he comes through people gossiping about you, he comes through all these kind of things. But it's the devil, and he's a real devil. Now that's his job, that's what he's supposed to do. Let's not mind him, let's mind the Father. Let's mind our personal commission, let's mind the calling that we've called and been called unto. Have you and I apprehended that to which Christ apprehended us? That should be the most important thing to us. The prophet says he's a real devil. You must know that he's a devil. The same time that you recognize him and know that he's a devil and he's against you, then you'll overcome. You must recognize that the God in you is greater and mightier than he. That's the only way you're going to overcome. You're going to have to rely upon the one that's in you. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And the same one that is in the genuine believers, the same one was in Jesus. That was what he used to overcome, was the one that was in him. So the only way we're going to be an overcomer like he was an overcomer, we've got to rely upon the one that's in us. And that needs the word and it needs humility. And that's what the prophet says, he surrendered himself. He humbled himself to the word. He gave preeminence to the word that was in him. And that's how he overcame. The prophet says, the one that is in you has already overcome. He's never been overcome. Christ, the Logos, has never been overcome. Right from before time when he overcame Lucifer, he was never overcome. When he was in the form of Michael, he overcame. Right down to this temptation in the wilderness, he overcame. He was never overcome. Right through his earthly ministry, he was never overcome. Right to the end on the cross, he wasn't overcome. That was his greatest victory. And the prophet says, the one that's in you has already overcome. Amen. And friends, that's why to a new believer, the most important thing to seek is that fulfillment of the spiritual armor, which is the Holy Ghost in your soul. Amen. The Spirit of truth. Without the Spirit of truth, you'll be overcome. Without being clothed with that spiritual armor of God, you will be overcome. He will overcome you. He'll pull you this way. He'll pull you that. And you'll never fulfill your call inside of your life. The prophet says, by his grace, you are more than a match for him. We're more than a match for the devil, friends. As long as you're not leaning on our own understanding. As long as you're not following our own line of reasoning. As long as you're not trying to do it as human beings. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. But if we're relying on the overcomer that's in us. Friends, there's a great power in getting yourself quiet before God. There's a great power in laying yourself upon the altar and waiting until the Lord comes down and gives you hidden manna. And when he gives you that hidden manna, you will go in the strength of that. That's the prevailing power. That's where you get the power from. But you've got to wait upon the Lord. You've got to seek his face. You've got to be diligent like Abraham was. We've got to keep the fowls off the sacrifice. We've got to keep things clear as we wait for the Lord to come down and show us the next thing to do. That's what Abraham had to do. God had told him, lay the altar. Put everything in order on the altar, the sacrifice. Then he had to wait. And then after that, when he cast off those fowls, then the pillar of fire came down between the sacrifices. And God came and confirmed the covenant and showed him the future. Showed him his people would be in Egypt and things like that. But friends, it's an important part to keep these fowls off of our offering. To keep these things, spirits of lust, spirits of uncleanness, all of these, they'll pollute your sacrifice. They'll pollute your altar. And once the altar's been polluted, there's no more overcoming power there anymore. Because there's no communion there. It's not a meeting place between God and his son or his daughter because it's a polluted altar. We've got to keep the altar from getting polluted. And that's what Abraham did, and God came down to him. The prophet says, there's real overcoming when you recognize. When you recognize the devil. When you recognize this is the enemy. When you recognize before you get caught up in something and you're fussing and you're fighting or you're trying to overcome it yourself, it's God's grace to give you the hidden manna, to reveal it beforehand, to show you, be careful, this is the devil. When the Lord came to the prophet and says, be careful, there's a trap set for you. That was hidden manna. That's where he got his overcoming power from. Then he could pray. Then he could be watchful. Then he could see, let me mind what Father wants me to do. Let me see what is his will. How does he desire for me to face up to this situation? But there's nothing worse, friends, than getting caught up in the midst of something unawares. Like an ambush. God doesn't want his sons and daughters to be ambushed by the enemy. He doesn't want the enemy to have an opportunity to prevail over us. So what he's going to do, he wants to speak to us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to get us to that place to give us what we need to overcome before we get ourselves into that situation. And that's really the grace of God. But the Bible says to the overcomer, He gives the hidden manna. That special portion of the manna. The prophet types it to the showbread. It says that showbread in the temple which only the priests were allowed to eat. And when David was fleeing from Saul and wondering what to do next, he went to the right place. He went to the sanctuary in Shiloh. He went to inquire of the Urim and the Thummim. He went now and he was there and he needed something to eat and they gave him now the showbread. It wasn't lawful for him to eat it. But the prophet says he was a prophet, priest, and king. You know, he had to fulfill it. And that was given him as the food and the sustenance in the natural that he needed to go on the next stage in overcoming in the midst of his temptations. And that's where we get it as well, friends. Just as much as Jesus overcame in that kind of a way. Listen what the prophet says in harvest time. He now gets into this first temptation. He says in paragraph 144, he speaks of all the different people that overcame in the Bible. Then he says, finally, the perfect one arrived. That was Jesus. Now, he arrived to be tempted in every point just like we are. The Bible said so. Satan never changes his tactic. Neither does God. Just changes the ages. Satan got in back there to the first family of God on the earth. So, when he takes us back to Eden and he shows that Jesus was wise to know exactly how Satan overcame them in Eden. And Jesus had learned from that. He wasn't going to allow the enemy to overcome him like that. Because he learned from that campaign that had taken place in the past. The prophet says, and Satan doesn't change the tactic. He comes with this threefold temptation. He came to Eve. He came to Adam with the same thing. He says, here it is, brother and sister. Don't fail to get it. How did Satan get the first family? He couldn't break it no other way but to get that word broken. If he could get them away from the spoken word. Friends, if that Satan can get us away from here, we're defeated. That's why these saints that are burning these books, they're completely overcome by the devil. They absolutely, there's no way for them to overcome in this age. Because God gives a message, which is the hidden manna. And then we as the believers, as the priesthood of God in our age, we feed upon that hidden manna. It's not just the word. The word is just ink on a page until God gets into it and breaks open the reality and the truth beneath the word. And he does that through the message of the hour. The message of the hour with the anointing on the messenger. He takes the scriptures and God points him and directs him to certain scriptures. And God brings out the virtue and the life that is going to be needed by the overcomers in that age to overcome by. So friends, these books, I don't understand how saints can't treasure these books. These books, you can read the same message, harvest time. Each time you read it, it'll be so different. It'll speak to you in your situation now. You will look maybe at your notes in the page on the side. You would have seen your previous times you read it. And you just, oh yeah. But it's totally different now. No, there's a certain something it does for you in it. It instructs you and guides you, corrects you, feeds you, quickens you. Does all those things in your current situation. That's why the denominations, they have the Bible. This is the perfect revelation of God. But outside of God coming and shining his Shekinah light upon it, the prophet says, shining the light of the age upon the scriptures, the people have the Bibles, but they can never fully overcome the conditions of this day because they don't have the hidden manna. The scripture hasn't become that quickened something for the age. Luther got it in his age. Brother Max was speaking at Sunday school the other week. The just shall live by faith. And Brother Howard as well. When he came, that was manna. That had been hidden, but it was now God's time once again to bring his manna to the overcomers in the age. And here God comes and unveils it to Luther. That scripture had always been there in Romans. The just shall live by their faith. The people had been reading it for centuries before. But God saw now what the people needed to overcome in that age. And God came down and he anointed and shone his light. And he broke forth, unsealed what that really meant to one man, Luther. And Luther went out in the power of that revelation. And he stood against powers and principalities, the kingdoms of that day, the entire church system of that day, fearlessly, and he overcame them all through that revelation. The just shall live by faith. That word in season, God's word in season. But Eve, she fell because of that. When the serpent came to her, what did he say to her first? What is the first words? Did God really say? That's the same serpent that's working out there now, friends. They're trying to question the prophet's visions and that. That's the same serpent trying to get you to doubt the word. Because once the serpent gets you to doubt the word, you've already been overcome. Once you start questioning, is this really God's word? That's what the serpent said. Did God really say, you shouldn't eat of this tree? And Eve, she should have gone straight back to the messenger, Adam. She should have fled back to him and said, Adam, there's a question here that I'm having a hard time answering. But what did she do? She tried to reason with the serpent. She tried to overcome with her own intellect. You'll never overcome the devil like that. It's the revealed word. It's what God brought to Adam in that age. If she could have got the full virtue, the full revelation of what God had told Adam in that age, she would never have been overcome by the enemy. But she was deceived, the Bible says. And friends, these are precious saints that have been deceived by the devil. To burn the Bible. Friends, to burn the Bible, where the Bible says, take one word out of here and your name will be taken from the book of life. This is the source. There's no overcoming outside of here. There's no overcoming. This is God's perfect, complete revelation, the prophet says. God will never add anything to what he said here. What's now just needed is for God to come and shine forth upon those portions of the word that we need in those seasons of life, where we need to overcome. And that's why the message is such grace to us. Because you will never find anything like this message, friends. Just get yourself in the spirit and go and read these books. The people who criticize this message, it's because they've never got in the spirit and got into these messages. It's so far beyond anything else upon earth in this age. I'm not saying there's not sincere people in the charismatic move. They are. Not saying they're not anointed, they don't preach some good messages. Some of them are pretty good messages. But the real understanding of your day and your hour, recognizing your day, recognizing your message, knowing the mind of the enemy, knowing the tactics of the enemy, it's only in the message. Because God does nothing until he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. And there were only seven messengers through the age. And anything else apart from that, friends, we break in the shadows and the types, and now we're walking in confusion. We've got to keep it the way it was from the beginning. Things have never changed. So the prophet says that. He says he couldn't break it no other way but to get that word broke. For they were fortified behind that word. And friends, you and I don't realize how fortified we are behind this message until you get out from behind this message. And then see how you get overcome, despite your good intentions. Like I told you, that friend of ours, Brother Lloyd, the one who backslid, and he thought it was easy, you know, and he went back to the world. The brothers know him. And he was completely conquered by the world. Then eventually he wanted to come back into the message. And he came back and he sat in church, but sitting in church was different than what he had before. Before, he sat in the message church and he had divine favor. You know, he had hidden manna, he had revelation, he had God dealing with him. God was giving him power. But the second time, when he didn't appreciate what God had given him, and he went back to the world and thought, well, I can just go back any time that I like. Amen. He found out that God doesn't work like that sometimes. And when he came back, he couldn't find that secret access that he had before. He couldn't find the hidden manna. He couldn't find the overcoming power. It's a sad thing, friends. Though he's a sincere man, a good friend of ours up to this day. But he never managed to break back into that realm that God had opened for him. Friends, he should have kept the fowls off the sacrifice. He should have kept those vultures from coming down in the evening time. These are seductive, seducing things, friends. You don't want to give an ear to the devil. You don't want to reason with the devil. You want to take the hidden manna and blast him with the hidden manna. That's what Jesus did. He took the revealed word. He took that which his Father had personally revealed to him. And that's what he used to totally conquer the devil. And that tied Satan up in knots. Satan couldn't do anything with Jesus. He couldn't do anything with him. And the prophet says, Satan doesn't change his tactics. And God doesn't change in every age. That's the way that we're going to overcome. The prophet says he couldn't break it down because they were fortified. Then he says that's how he got every church in every age. He got the believer to just pull that gap out. Just to open that gap. You see, then you start, you know, it's amazing. I was speaking to somebody, I won't say who, but they were telling me, they said, you know, their parents message believers as well, but their parents would tell them when they were growing up to say, you know, Brother Brian made mistakes. There's nothing wrong with you cutting your hair. Friends, what kind of, you've opened a gap. Because the prophet is a word prophet. Let's take it back to the scripture. The prophet didn't get it from nowhere. He got it from the word. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are the ones that testify of me. That's a scriptural thing that was restored back in its glory, that a woman's hair is her glory. That's what the Bible says. A man, it's a disgrace for a man to have long hair. Paul said, doesn't even nature teach you? But a woman's hair is given to her for her glory. And the prophet came and said, women are cutting off their glory in this age, showing they're not under the headship of their husband anymore. That's what it represents. And he says, a woman's hair, it's like a Nazarite vow to Samson. You see, as long as he kept that Nazarite vow, he didn't allow a razor to touch his hair. He had power to prevail and overcome. But the moment that he despised his birthright, the word, and he allowed his hair to be cut, you think, what has hair got to do with it? Ask Samson. It made a massive difference. His power wasn't in the hair. His power was in the vow. And the long hair was a sign that he was under the vow. And the prophet, the same as a woman, her hair is given as her glory. The moment she cuts it, she breaks that vow. She breaks the vow, friends. And is it not amazing? These people, the moment they leave the message, the moment they reject this message, the first thing they do is they cut off their hair. They cut off their hair. Yet it's a scriptural principle, friends. It's not just the message that teaches that. That's good old holiness preaching. It's been preached for hundreds of years in the Christian church. Friends, that's where we... But when you allow a gap, we start to question and reason with the word. And say, you know, people say it. They think like, oh, no, the prophet died 50 years ago. I don't think the prophet didn't know what the internet was. The prophet, you know. Friends, the principles the prophet preached, they covered everything. Because it wasn't the prophet's message. It came from the pillar of fire. It wasn't the prophet himself searching things out. The prophet says, them revelations in the presence of that ball of fire. That's where it came from. So God, he revealed hidden manna. He revealed what we need right to the end of the age. That's what you find in the message. In every age. So the serpent came and said, yea, hath God said. And then the serpent comes and contradicts exactly what God had said. He says, you shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. Be careful. Because you give the devil an opportunity, he'll start just with a little bit of a question, and then the end he'll be directly contradicting the word. And he's an anointed being. He's the anointed cherub that covereth. So when he comes, there's an anointing. When he comes, there's power. When he comes, many times things can take place supernaturally. And you'll be in that presence and you'll say, look, it's so powerful. But if it speaks contrary to the word of your age, this was contrary to what God had revealed to Adam. Eve should never have considered what he was saying. She should have seen, this is going to put my future in peril. This is going to, you know, imperil my inheritance. She didn't realize that. This was going to pollute that sacrifice until they were going to have to leave Eden because she allowed these fowls to come down upon the sacrifice. She should have done like Abraham. Chase these fowls away. Not given an opportunity for them. You know, but there's something inside of how the devil speaks, and he says to her, you'll not die, but your eyes will be opened. And friends, all of these cults in the message that break off, yeah, and follow the eighth messengers, and that's what they all do. They all say, our eyes have been opened. We see more than you see. You know, we understand really what the prophet says. You don't, friends. The prophet says that's the same interpreter that spoke to Eve. He says, be careful of listening to Eve's interpreter. Because Satan came to interpret the word to Eve. And the prophet says, God is his own interpreter. God doesn't need anyone to interpret his word. And the prophet says, just say what the tape says. He says, don't put your mind to it. He says, every time you've done it, you've made a cult. He says, in the sixth seal, questions on the sixth, on answers on the seals. He says, just leave it the way that it is. He says, I can feel it in your minds concerning tonight, the seventh seal. He says, don't try to reason it. Don't try to make isms out of this. He says, don't try to make yourself strange. He says, I can feel you saying, but we the bride, shouldn't we? He says, no, no, no. He says, you've messed it up every time when you've done that. And exactly what he told us not to do, we all did it. Every single one of us. And then we had all the contentions in the message about the seventh seal and all these things and the thunders and that. And we broke up into parts. But the prophet says, in there, the prophet told us, just stay with the plain old message. Just love the Lord. Just be a light in your church. Just testify in your community. He says, don't do that. You can read it at the beginning of the questions and answers on the seal. But friends, there's something about us. We all are enticed by greater light. When someone seems to have greater light, now more than what's really been said, when people take the spoken words and they say, look, well, the prophet says this, but what he really was meaning was this. Friends, don't listen to those things. When someone comes to tell you, no, he said this, but what he was really meaning, the prophet says, and Christ is revealed in his own word. He says, now in order to study the scripture, Paul told Timothy, study it. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There's three musts in the scripture. In using God's words, three things you must not do. Let's study those for the next 10 minutes. Three things you must not do. You must not misinterpret the word. The prophet says, you say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. It needs no interpreter. Friends, it doesn't make sense. God sends us a prophet, yeah, to unveil the seals, yes? It's like it was sealed and now it's been unsealed. Now there's people telling us they've got to take what the prophet unsealed and they have to unseal that to us now. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't fit with the pattern of what the prophet taught us. The message, the word's already been interpreted to us, friends. Everything we need to be understood is in the message of the hour. If it's not there, we don't need it. It's just interest sake, the other things. We can try to spend all our time in those seven trumpets, but the prophet was told, it's not for us, it's for the Jews. You can spend days and weeks trying to type it with this and type with that, but the prophet told us, I went in sincerely before the Lord, and he told me, this isn't for the Gentiles. This is for the Jews. And the prophet just gives us a few little hints to show us why it's for the Jews. We don't need it. But when Moses and Elijah come, they're going to unveil that to the Jews. That's their word that's been sealed up under the trumpets. Just as much as our message was sealed up under the seals. The trumpets are to the Jews. The seals are to the Gentiles, the prophet said. And that's what's going to happen. That's been sealed up to their time of the end. Just as much as our seals were sealed up to our time of the end. And when people come, friends, with this, there's a lot of people interpreting the message now. It's worrying, friends. Don't pay attention to those things. You and I need the hidden manna. The hidden manna is a personal revelation that you get quiet before God and God is able to speak to you. God is able to reveal to you about your situation, reveal to you about, you know, what's coming in your future, the decisions you need to make. God wants to lead you. He wants to give you personal manna so that you personally will be an overcomer. The prophet says the old promise to the overcomer is to the individual. Amen. It says to him that overcometh. He said it's not to the whole church. He says it's an individual, so we overcome as individuals. Amen. There's no revelation that's going to help us all overcome. Amen. Each of us, we've got to take what God has revealed and we've got to get the hidden manna from that ourselves. Amen. It's a personal thing, the prophet says. And Eve, she needed that hidden manna to overcome in that hour of trial when it came to her. But we know that she was overcome. And all as it comes when we overrule the little voice in there. We all know that no, I don't really think that's what it means. And we overrule it. God has given us an instinct. He's put something inside of us to give us a warning, to say, be careful. And friends, you'll read some of these things which these people put on the internet. Just read a few paragraphs inside of yourself. You know, I'm not reading any more of this. I'm not reading any more of this. Why poison your soul, friends? Why mind the devil? Why not mind the Father? There's many things he wants to speak to us. But we spend so much time on other things. Friends, I'd say you should spend the vast majority of your time on the Father's business. What he wants to speak to you. And then if you have to contend for the faith because something rises up, earnestly contend for the faith. I think that's what it was done through the ages. And sometimes there's a certain dividing line, a certain point where you know inside of yourself you shouldn't cross. You'll feel it in your conscience. You'll feel it in your soul. You'll feel it by the way your heart is beating. And you know that, I think I'm presuming here. Now, if ever you take in the word, there's certain things you know. We're speaking to the deacons. Other, there's certain things you may think it's right. But anything done without faith is sin. If it's not revealed to you, you might try to force something because you think it's right. It'll backfire every single time. Never do anything without faith. Never do anything unless there's a liberty in the Lord to do it. That He's going before in the things that you do. No matter how much you may think it's a good idea, no matter how much you may think it's right, don't circumvent the program of God. And people do it. They try to force the program of God. They try to change things themselves. Friends, it's a dangerous thing to do. You get yourself in trouble with God like David did. Now you try to bring the ark up on a cart that God never ordained it to come upon. Wasn't the season, wasn't the right way, wasn't the time. And what did he do? He caused the death of an innocent man, Uzzah. He was trying to do a service for the Lord. And that's how the prophet says, don't misinterpret the word. You must not misplace the word. Amen. So if something is referring to the prophet, don't take it and put it on another man. That's misplacing the word. If there's things the prophet speaks about his ministry and different things, don't take those things now and say, I'm the one who fulfills that. That's misplacing the word. It's not right for us to do that, the prophet. Don't misinterpret, don't misplace the word. And he says, don't dislocate the word. Now that's an important one. God works in continuity. God works every time he follows the same pattern all the way through. He follows the same pattern all the way through. The prophet says every truth has a shadow. Amen. Everything of substance which is real has a shadow. Amen. So anything which you have an idea of in the message, in the New Testament era, there's got to be a shadow for it. Amen. Otherwise, no matter how good it seems to you, it's wrong. Amen. It's wrong. Amen. You may think, my hand has four fingers. Yeah? But go and look at the shadow. If the shadow's got five fingers, friends, no matter how much you may be trying to tell me my hand's got four fingers, I'm never going to believe you. Because it's not following the pattern. It's not following true to the types of the scripture. And that's why the things that happened in the Old Testament were put there for us to learn by. Those are examples. So when somebody wants to come now and say, we're looking for some new messenger now, yeah? Where's the pattern? Where's the shadow? If that substance, what they're showing, show us in the patterns. Show us in the shadows. We see Ruth typing the Gentile bride in the harvest time. She comes into the field of Boaz. She meets the chief reaper, which is the prophet. That's who she first... He introduces her to Boaz, who is Christ. The chief reaper goes off the scene. The rest of the story is Ruth and Boaz. Where's another man coming in the picture? You can't break scripture like that. You're dislocating the word. You dislocate. Let's go back to Genesis 18, the Son of Man ministry like we have now. Here came the Son of Man to Abraham. Yeah? The Son of Man spoke to Abraham, revealed the seals to Abraham, revealed what he was about to do. Then the Son of Man went off the scene. Before then and the destruction of Sodom, did we see any other man come on the scene? Did we see another prophet come on the scene? Before the destruction. So where are we getting these things from? From men's imaginations. Friends, these are the fowls that come down at evening time to pollute the evening time sacrifice. And we've got to drive these fowls off the sacrifice. Because they're seducing spirits. That's what they are. But it's a spirit of error. The prophet says, don't dislocate the word. It's got to go in continuity. Got to go in continuity. That's how the prophet would always say. What did he call himself? A typologist. Everything he would do, he'd go and use types and shadows. Because then he knew it's going to come out right. Because if the shadows all say this, the substance has got to be like this as well. And that's what we've got to do, friends. We've got to do that. The prophet, we'll see it now. He spoke about Moses and he says, that's where Moses made his mistake. I'll show you now. In the second temptation. In fact, let's just finish on this first one. When Satan now comes to Jesus, what does he say to him? If you be the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. The prophet says, in fact, I'll read it for you because he says it in a very, very nice way. He says here in paragraph 153, the prophet speaks about this first temptation. He says, now Satan tried his same tactic on Jesus that he tried on the rest of them. He tried to make him eat something besides the promised bread word. Now that's very serious what he's saying. Satan was saying, turn the stones into bread. Jesus said, that's not the type of bread that I overcome with now. What was the bread he was overcoming with? The hidden manna, the spoken word, that personal bread that he was receiving from his Father. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus was saying, yes, there's a spoken word, but at that season of his ministry, it wasn't time to manifest that spoken word. It was time now to feed upon the spoken word. It was time to overcome by the spoken word that he had received. That's where he got his power from. And friends, that's what we receive in the spoken words. That's why they called the spoken word on many of them. Spoken word publications. Because we've got to be feeding. John, eat the book. Feeding on the spoken word. That's where you're going to overcome. When the Spirit then is going to quicken that to you in your hour of trial. The Spirit's going to quicken that. And that is the bread Jesus said that man lives by on a daily basis. Is that personal Shekinah bread, the prophet says. That bread that the Shekinah presence has shone upon, that showbread, and you go and eat that bread. The priesthood, that's where you're going to get the overcoming power from. He says in paragraph 155, he says, notice they tried to make him eat something besides the bread of life that every man should live by. And these messengers come now, friends, and they've got things contrary to the word, contrary to the message. They're trying to get people to eat things that are not the bread of life. That's the very first temptation that Satan brought. The prophet says, but Jesus stayed with the Father's word. He hadn't hit Eve then. He hadn't hit Moses. He hit one that is going to reflect every word. Jesus stayed with the word, refused his new light. He refused the new light. Friends, I refuse that new light. I don't want new light. We've got the evening light. We don't need new light. Eve, it was promised to her, he has new light. This is something beyond what your husband told you, Adam. She should have refused the new light. Said he refused his new light and his more experience. What's the prophet saying in his language? You'll have a greater experience. No, you'll know more. You'll become like God, like he said to Eve. And I don't doubt it because Satan's a very anointed being. And there'll be great experiences and great things that can take place. We're living in the age of the anointed ones at the end time. Amen. We can have powerful experience that accompany a lot of things. But friends, the prophet's warning us, stay with the message you've heard. Stay with the message that you've heard. Stay, let's stay fortified behind. Let's not allow anything to come upon the sacrifice as you wait for God to come and take us on the next stage. As you wait by the altar, Elijah's restored altar and everything, we put it in order the best that we can. Then we wait upon the Lord. But the fowls are going to come while we're waiting. The fowls are going to want to come down now to pollute the sacrifice. But Jesus showed us how to overcome. He refused that new light because Jesus knew what the hidden manna really was. And friends, the prophet preaches the uncertain sound. Amen. There's just an uncertain sound. People can do a lot of things, but when they speak, there's an uncertain sound. There's a something, a buzzer inside of your soul that warns you to say, be careful. Be careful of this. The prophet says, if there's a question, don't do it. If there's a question to it, stay away from it. Don't do it. Rather stay fortified behind the safety of the word. And if God wants you to have something further, God will reveal it to you. The prophet says, if you just remain humble, and if God has something for you, he knows how to bring it to you. Don't go searching for new light. Be careful of the light that you will find. Try to push yourself into those realms. Let God go before. Let God open the way, like he did to the children of Israel in the wilderness. So the prophet says that Jesus refused that. Now the second temptation, when Satan saw that he couldn't get Jesus to eat something that wasn't spoken word bread. Satan now changed his tactic now. And he came and he took him and said, okay, take yourself to the top of the temple. Cast yourself down. Show how great you really are. I'll read that exactly how he explains that from the message. The prophet says what Satan was going to do to him was going to make him a show-off. A show-off. Look what I can do. I'm a man of God. You know? And what is that? That's arrogance. Pride starting to come in. And friends, you see these saints that left. You always feel sorry. They're friends. But friends, when people start now saying, those people are frogs and those people, Branhamists and all that, it shows they're wrong from the beginning. Because there's no humility in the way they're trying. If they have greater light, if it's genuine light, it should make them humble. Because genuine revelation is God's grace. It makes you humble. But anything that makes a person arrogant and proud, something's wrong. Something's wrong there, friends. When you find somebody in us blasting message believers, blasting the message, it shows right from the beginning something's wrong somewhere. No matter how gifted a person may be, no matter how powerful they may be, the prophet says, I'd rather have a man who's right in his spirit and wrong in his doctrine than a man who's even right in his doctrine and wrong in his spirit. Because a person who's right in his spirit, God will lead him into the right doctrine. God will lead him into further light down the way. But it's sad, friends. It's sad to see. And that's why the prophet goes on to say it. He says, the second assault, the next great assault was that he made upon him that he would be a show-off. That hits God's servants to be a show-off, to show what you can do. Glory to God, I'm a deliverer. He says, remember, Moses did that. Let's read it in Numbers chapter 20, because the prophet's giving us another part of ammunition that we're going to need to overcome these things in our age. Numbers chapter 20, the prophet speaks about it. Verse 10, let's read it from verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth water to them, water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, here now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beasts also. Listen how the prophet says it. This is in How Can I Overcome, paragraph 132. He says it in a very powerful way. He says, God said, speak to that rock. Don't smite it again. You will break all of the types here. Can you see? When Moses came and smote the rock twice, although water came out, he had broken the types of the scripture. Amen. He broke the pattern, because the prophet goes on, the rock is only going to be smitten once. Jesus is the rock that was smitten. Amen. So when you see these people coming, though they can bring forth great things, but when you see them teaching and breaking the types of the word, Amen. They're doing the same as Moses. The prophet says, Moses, his own zeal, he smote the rock twice. We will bring you water out of the rock. Can you see? Can you see? It was something human had come in. Though he had been greatly used of God before, but now something human had come into the ministry of the man. And friends, it's not been, we said once before, the scourge of the message. You know, there's powerful true apostles in the message, but there's a lot of false apostles as well, friends. It's the false apostles. It's the ones who started well and then thought they had greater light and thought they had something greater than the rest of the bride. And they started to smite the rock twice now, started to break the shadows and the types, had big followings following them, and all of the different factions in the message started like that. And it hasn't finished, friends. Because Satan doesn't change his tactics. And he wants to move every single one of us out of our callings. Like Brother Howard said, I learned a great lesson from that. When he said, sometimes Satan will try to hold you back from what God has for you. But then if he can't hold you back, he'll try to push you too far. He'll try to make you go beyond. Maybe he's called you to some great something in the message. He uses you in a great way. But if he can, he'll push you beyond what you're called to do. And now you start correcting the prophet, and you start printing your own books, and you start doing all those kind of things. You see, he couldn't keep you back from it, so he pushes you too far through it. And both sides, friends, we really have to watch out. Because it's easy. Satan can hold us back from things as well, just as much as he can push us too far. And we go extreme in the things that we believe. The prophet says the rock is only going to be smitten once. But Moses spoke of the weakness of the word. Listen how he explains it. Moses, by smiting it twice, spoke of the weakness of the word. That rock was the word. He says, Moses was saying that wasn't sufficient. Now let's bring it to today. What are people saying? The spoken words aren't sufficient. Malachi 4 is not sufficient. When we start smiting the rock a second time, when we start having to have eighth messengers, by doing that we're saying the word wasn't sufficient. Malachi 4 wasn't sufficient to do the job. I've got to come now and finish the job. When we print our own books and we do all those things and we make a big following around ourselves and we're contradicting the message and so forth, what are we saying? We're saying that this failed. This never produced the goods. Therefore, we need to smite the rock again. We need to do something else again. Because the prophet says, Moses was saying that the word is insufficient. It's not enough for the rock just to be smitten once. I'm going to have to smite it twice to bring water. He wasn't supposed to speak to the rock. The prophet says, that's the type. Christ was smitten once at Calvary. Now we speak to the rock. That's the pattern of the word. But Moses broke the shadow and the pattern. And friends, like I said, every eighth messenger is breaking a pattern in the word. Amen. Revelations 10. Amen. Verse 7, we have the seventh angel. From there we get straight on to John who types the bride, the prophet says. And John has to take the book and eat the book. There's no other man in there. There's no space for another man in that chapter. The next chapter is the two witnesses to the Jews, Moses and Elijah. There's no space in the patterns, in the shadow for another man. People are smiting the rock the second time, friends. It may bring forth its water. I'm not saying it won't bring forth water. It did bring forth water. Not saying there won't be people getting out of wheelchairs and people being healed and great things. It still happened with Moses. But listen how it finished up. Listen what the prophet says about that situation there now. Let's read it firstly in the scripture. It says here, Moses lifted up his hand and he spoke. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not. You see? To sanctify me in the eyes of Israel. You never lifted up my word before the people. You never told them how perfect my plan is. But you lifted yourself up above my program. Yeah? Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land that I've given them. So these people that come, friends, I'm really speaking honestly today. These people that come, friends, and they lead astray people in the message and tell that they've got greater light, and to be in the rapture, you've got to be with them. You know what the real truth is? They're the ones that aren't going to be in the rapture. By smiting the rock twice, by doing those things, you're disqualifying yourself from getting into the promised land. By offering the people something which is out of the pattern, the shadows and types of the word, breaks the continuity of Scripture, promising this is the only thing that's going to get you in the rapture. They actually are testifying according to the shadows of the word that they themselves, if they don't turn around and come back, they're not going to get into the promised land. That's a serious thing. That's the prophet, friends. I'm not teaching something myself here. I'm just saying exactly what the prophet says. Let me continue on what the prophet says here. Because I know some people are a little bit quiet. And I get nervous when people are quiet. The prophet says here, God said, speak to that rock. Don't smite it again. You break all the types here. The rock is only going to be smitten once. But he spoke of the weakness of the word. What is this man saying from Ivory Coast, whatever? He's speaking of the weakness of the message. If you're telling people to burn the message books, what are you saying? These books aren't going to get you in the rapture. He's smiting the rock a second time. That's what he's doing. Then the prophet says, he spoke of the weakness of the word when he did, that wasn't sufficient. That what God had ordained isn't sufficient, friends. Malachi 4 is sufficient to finish to the end. To bring, we don't need anybody else apart from Malachi 4. Revelations 10:7 is sufficient. It's now up to us to fulfill our shadow part. We eat the book. That's all we find in the word. Anything else, we're smiting the rock a second time. We're breaking the shadows. We're speaking of the weakness of God's program. We're saying, I don't agree that that's going to put the people in the promised land. Let me do something myself and show how it's done. And you disqualify yourself from the very thing that you're claiming you're the messenger of. That's the very thing which you're doing. The prophet confirms that he says, first time he smote the rock and the waters came forth. Then they got thirsty again. You see what happens? You see what happens, friends? The message comes forth and we drink. And we're satisfied. And if you're not careful and don't keep go back and drinking from the message, we start getting thirsty for something new. We want greater light. We want something more exciting than the message. You know, we want something we say which is more up to date. Friends, the message is perfectly up to date. When you get in the spirit, when you get in your closet, when the Shekinah comes and overshadows the message, it becomes so up to date. It becomes so present tense in your own experience. We know it from experience, but the people get thirsty for something else now. They don't want the plain old message like the prophet says. We want something new. And Satan's going to provide it every time we look for it. Every single time. He's got plenty of false apostles, friends. Just waiting out there. Let's read the scripture about false apostles, because I know maybe saints don't know that scripture. I think it's in Corinthians. Is it 2 Corinthians chapter 4 or so? If I can find it. 2 Corinthians, when Paul speaks about it. 2 Corinthians 11. Listen, Paul had this problem in his message as well. 2 Corinthians 11, I think it's verse 7 around there somewhere. Yeah, Paul teaching about the false teachers. 2 Corinthians 11:13. Listen to what Paul says. For such are false apostles. They were troubling the Corinthians, yeah? They were coming. What were they saying to the Corinthians? They were saying, Paul is weak. Paul, he's got problems with his eyes and they never healed. No, that's what Paul says. Go and read your Bible. He says, they come and they'll say to you, Paul is weak. His epistles are powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. Yeah? And they're saying, we're the ones that have been raised up to take over from Paul. Yeah, Paul started okay, but we're the ones. That's what false apostles always do. The false apostles. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers. So Satan has his ministers in the message of the hour. The false apostles, but there's genuine apostles. There's a genuine fivefold ministry to perfect the bride. But Satan will never leave it like that. He's got his false apostles. They'll come to you and say, I've got greater light. I've got more. I'll take you all the way. They'll say that to you, friends. That's always how the devil works. But what you're doing, you're breaking the continuity of God's plan. You're breaking the program of God. God works in a continuity. God doesn't start to work and then get lost in the middle. It says, he that began the good work will be faithful to complete it. But when the message goes like it is now, friends, you know, people, it's very easy for people to say, ah, we need something new to quicken this to the end. We need something new to take us all the way into the promises and so forth. And the prophet says, those very people, be careful. They're making the same mistake as Moses. They're anointed people, but they're breaking the types and the patterns and the shadows of the word. And these are these false apostles. He says, therefore, there's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And you find it every time they come and break up your church, their church breaks up as well. That's what it's like that. Every time they come and do something, their end will be according to their works. If they come and plot against you in the midst of your church, people will plot against them in their churches. That's what the scripture says. Their end will be as is their works. I want my works to bring forth the expected end. I don't want to do those kind of things, friends. I've never been a person in this message that wanted division. I don't want division. I never wanted division. We saw too much division in the days of our youth in the message. And you'd have precious saints wanting to fellowship together, but division. And I hate that, and I'm sure you as saints hate that as well. Let's never allow division. It brings a confusion when these things happen. Somebody else starts their church down the way there, someone starts their church over there. It confuses the unbelievers. It confuses our children. It confuses people. So what does this mean? Shouldn't be like it, friends. Shouldn't be like it. You're breaking the pattern of the word. You're breaking the shadows and the patterns of the word. It shouldn't be like that. That's why the prophet speaks about these false apostles. But now he says about Moses, just bringing it back to the point. We'll come to a close with this. He says, God says, he says on page 28, how can I overcome? He says, Moses went down and smote the rock like that and said, come forth. And it didn't come forth. So he smote it again and said, come forth. I command you to come forth. And the waters came. And God said, come up here. Come here. You glorified yourself. You see what they're doing? I'm the eighth angel. I have more revelation. They're glorifying themselves, friends. They're glorifying themselves. And they're raising themselves up above the message of the hour. I heard from one brother was telling me the other day, he was fellowshipping with me about a certain place where there's one message church now, they really believe they're far ahead of the rest of the message churches in that country. And the other ministers from the other groups, they were really worried about it. And they met together and they started to pray. And this one minister really prayed about it and said, Lord, what does this mean? And that night he slept and the Lord showed him a dream. And there was the entire forest. All the trees were the same height. And then there rose a certain tree above the height of the rest. And then there came a watcher from heaven. And he came with his axe and he cut down that tree. And I told him, brother, that's exactly. Every time people want to raise themselves up above the rest in the message, God brings them down again. God brings them down. It was Lonnie Jenkins I heard teach that principle maybe 20 years ago. He said, God will never allow someone to raise himself up above the rest of the message. God will in the end always have to bring that person down. Because the script that you're breaking the scriptures. It's now the fivefold ministry, friends. Amen. It's now the fivefold. That's the pattern of the word. It's the pattern. And that's what Moses did now. He wanted to raise himself up. So God says, you took my power. And instead of sanctifying me, you sanctified yourself. Now, you're not going over into the land. Look over and see what it looks like. But here, you're going to leave right here. Oh my. The prophet says, there never was a man like Moses. Imagine the caliber of a man like that. Our friends, these are sober warnings. I really take them to heart myself. Now, the prophet really speaks about staying so humble. You know, he says, you know, how Jesus was such a humble man and how he always stayed and humbled himself under the word. No matter how the word would come, no matter how difficult it was for him, the way he overcame, he would submit himself to that word. He would yield and surrender himself to the word that was revealed to him. And that's how he overcame. And every step of the way when he needed now, when that temptation of the enemy came, God had hidden manna for him. God had something for him that when the enemy came and said, it is written, cast yourself. The angels will bear you up in your hands, lest you smite your foot against a stone. You see the misinterpretation? The prophet says Jesus wasn't going to smite his foot upon a stone. That scripture didn't apply to his situation. But Satan misinterpreted and said, cast yourself off. Show how great you are. The angels will bear you up. All the people in the temple will know that you're the Messiah. Oh, it will be so great. But Jesus discerned it straight away and he knew that that's not really what that word is saying. And the prophet says what that word was meaning is that if you're about to stumble in the line of duty, if there's a stone in your path and you're walking in accordance with God's will for your life, God is obligated, he's commissioned the angels to bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus picked it up and he knew. And how did he answer Satan? He says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Amen. You don't cast yourself down and say, God must pick me up. Forcing God, that's what Moses was doing. Forcing God to do something. That's tempting the Lord. A permissive will, God will do it, but you pay the price. That's what the prophet says. Don't ever force the Lord, friends. Let's not force God for anything. He's the one who opens where no man can shut. He shuts where no man can open. If he wants us to be something, he'll make us something. If he wants something greater, he'll bring it to us and we just surrender ourselves and go on. Let him have the preeminence. We want God to have his wonderful way. Let's not use human program. Let's not try to engineer things and force things and try to get our own will done. God can never bless your will and mine. He can only bless his own will. So let's rather submit ourselves unto him. Let's rather follow the pattern of our perfect type and example, the great overcomer himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, and follow his example. Now then he speaks about the third one, and he speaks about what is the third temptation of Jesus. When Satan came and said, bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. You know what the prophet says? He says, if he can't get you on the first one, yeah, if he can't get you on the second one, he offers you a position. Is that not what happened exactly? Someone comes up and says, leave that church. You can come and be a preacher in my church. Is that not exactly the same thing? Offering you a position. You see how it always works like that. And the prophet says, Jesus knew he was going to get that position, but he first had to carry his cross. So Satan wants to try to give you something before the time. Tries to say, look, you can be this. I'll make you that. Yeah. Maybe God's called you to be that, but first God has to equip you for that position. Yeah. Jesus couldn't take the throne until he first endured, took his cross, went through the learned obedience by the things that he suffered, developed a character that was suitable for that position. But Satan will come and try to offer you something without the cross. But God's way is always through the cross. Before God brings you to where you're supposed to be in its fullness, he's going to take you by the way of the cross every time. And Jesus, he said to Satan, he said, no. Get thee behind me, Satan. He says, I know the way. I know my inheritance. And I know God's provided way to my inheritance. He was trying to give him a shortcut. Trying to find some way that you could quickly get to that position. And if Jesus had been a natural, a carnal man, he would have responded to that straight away. But the prophet says, Jesus was different than all that went before. He was different than Uzziah. He was different than David. He was different than Moses. Here was the Word made flesh. And friends, we are the Word bride made flesh. Therefore, God has put the potential in us, the seed in us. If we just get the quickening power of the Holy Ghost upon that seed, he'll never overcome you. You'll make your mistakes in the flesh. You'll get tired. You'll say something you regret. That's the sins of the flesh. But for him to overcome you like that, he'll never. Because the elect will never be deceived. Amen. Never. Amen. Because God's seed abides in them. Amen. God's seed. Just keep bringing yourself back to the waters of life. Let it bathe upon that seed. Let God now feed your soul with hidden manna. Satisfy yourself in the message of the hour. Satisfy yourself in the simple service of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Just be faithful in your post of duty. Be faithful on a daily basis. And he who began the work, his predestinated work, friends, he's going to finish this work. And we say, Father, glorify your name. Let's stand. Let's just come to a time of worship, saints. know, to anybody who doesn't have anything to read at this time, I'd really recommend this message, How Can I Overcome? I've read it a lot of times, but it's a powerful message. How Can I Overcome, 1963, August. You'll really get a blessing. There's a lot of things the prophet says in there.
I am thinking of the rapture in the blessed home of God,
when the redeemed,
when the redeemed are
gathering in. How we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in.
When the redeemed,
when the redeemed are gathering,
gathering in,
washed like snow and free from sin,
free from sin.
How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed,
oh,
are gathering in. There will be a great procession on the streets of gold
when the redeemed are gathering in.
Oh, with music, oh, and singing, oh, the city will be roll
when the redeemed are gathering in.
Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin.
Free from sin.
How we'll shout
and how we'll sing
when the redeemed,
oh,
are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong.
Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in,
though the angels
will listen, for they cannot join our song.
Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in,
oh, my Lord,
when the redeemed are gathering in,
gathering in,
wash like snow and free from sin,
free from sin.
How we'll shout and how we'll sing
when the redeemed,
when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare
the banquet hall,
when the redeemed are gathering in. And with his invitation, come ye blessed,
oh, blessed of the Lord,
when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in,
wash like snow
and free from sin.
How we'll shout
and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
Let's sing one more breath. Rock of ages,
give for me.
Oh,
let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side
Spirit which flows, be of sin a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure, crude my tears for river flow,
oh my Lord,
good my zeal, oh land I know is forsaken, could not atone, thou must save, and thou alone, in my hand, no price I bring. I claim while I draw this fleeting breath. When I rise, shadows in death. Oh, when I rise, to worlds unknown, and behold, you on thy throne, rock of ages,
clear for me,
let me hide myself while I draw this fleeting breath, and my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to earth and know.
Oh, my Lord,
rock of ages, clear for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Let's bow heads. Let's come to a time of prayer, saints. Let's keep the vultures off our sacrifice. Now, these foul spirits, spirits of error, spirits of seducing spirits, spirits of temptation, spirits of lust, spirits of worldliness, whatever it is, you're wanting an altar and you're wanting a sacrifice that's acceptable so that His fire may fall upon that.
Hallelujah.
If there's anything inside of your life that is contrary, why not lay it upon the altar now and just say, Lord, wash me in your blood. Sanctify me and cleanse me, Lord. Take away the very desire for these kind of things, that my offering may be acceptable to you once again. And the Lord will bless you. Let's all come to a time of prayer in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, bringing ourselves before Thee, Lord, at this time and upon this day as Your people. So glad, Lord Jesus, just for opportunity, for grace, Father, to come before Thee, Lord, even upon this day, to bring ourselves before Thee.
Father, we look unto Thee, Lord Jehovah. You be glorified, Lord Jehovah, and help us, Lord, to keep our eyes, Lord, even upon Thee, Lord Jehovah. For Lord, You desire good things, Lord, toward us, Lord Jehovah. We are so dependent upon Thee, Lord Jehovah. Looking, Lord Jehovah, Father, to the ends of the earth, Lord Jehovah. Trusting, Lord, even as those saints, Lord, desire to see this day. Father, we are in it, Lord Jehovah, and we desire to be faithful, right to the end, Lord Jehovah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's sing one more bridge. Amen.
Just suppose God searched through heaven, couldn't find one worthy to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed.
Hallelujah,
oh, to I turn the life for you and me.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Had it not been for the old rugged cross.
For the old rugged cross.
Had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad He was willing going to drink my bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. Oh, thank you, Lord, to take the nails from his hands and set me. Oh, had it not been, oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary. Had it not been for the old rugged cross, for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Aren't you glad today? I'm so glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angel. Oh, thank you, Lord, to take the nails from his hands and set me free. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary. Oh, Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, my soul would be full. Had it not been for a place, oh Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
Because he lives,
I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives.
Because he lives.
Oh, my fear is gone, because I know, yes, I know, he holds my future, thank you, Lord, and life is worth a living just because he lives.
God said,
sending your son,
we call him Jesus.
Oh, we call him Jesus. He came to life, healing for hope, to forgive the blood and life. True by my power, and life is worth a lot. Oh, oh, he lives, because he lives. Oh, because Jesus lives. Tomorrow I can face anything tomorrow, because he lives. Oh, because he lives. Oh, fear rings. Oh, my fear is gone. Because I know. He owns my future. And life is worth the living just. Yeah. God sent his prophet.
Well, he sent us his prophet.
Just as he,
oh, as he promised.
Give one more opportunity. If there's anybody here this afternoon and your life is not in order with the Lord and you really want to set it in order and you look into Him because you know that inside of yourself you can't do it, Friends, the secret is to humble yourself to the Lord. It's humility. It's not trying to be a big somebody. It's not trying to act like a hero. Jesus was the master. He showed us the way. He showed us just to submit yourself to the leadership of the Lord. That's all you got to do. Just to be honest with the Lord. Just to be open with Him. If you've done wrong, say, Lord, I've done wrong. If you've made a mistake and your life is full of regret, just say, Jesus, my life is full of regret. I made a mistake, but you are the potter. You can take the broken pieces and you can mold me back into the vessel that you designed for me to do. Friends, with God, there's no hopeless case. There's no hopeless case with Him. Friends, He can go right to the tombs. He can find a man who's not even in his right mind, who's so possessed by the devil, and Jesus can set him free. Now you can find a woman who's so immoral, the prophet says even the dogs wouldn't bark at her. Imagine the worst sinner in the city. And Jesus turned her into a trophy of His mercy, a trophy of His grace. And He said, wherever the gospel is preached, this will be told of this woman who anointed my feet with oil, washed them with her tears and dried them with her hair. Doesn't matter your situation. Don't look down. Don't look at your situation. Look up. The Bible says, look and live. Look to Jesus and live.
Hallelujah.
Looking unto Him, that's what you do this day. Father, we commit ourselves to Thee once again, Lord. We're so mindful of grace and mercy. Father, the things that You have done for us. Father, we are so mindful, Lord, upon this day of all Your goodness, Lord, as we've been worshiping here for some years, Lord. And Father, how good that You've been to us, Lord. Father, we've learned many things here, Lord. Father, You've taught us many things. Lord, You blessed us in many ways. Lord, You've corrected us in many ways. Oh, Father, we do thank You for everything, Lord. And now we look to You to move on. And Father, Lord Jesus, we just pray, take us higher, Lord. Take us further, take us higher. But for, Lord, we just want to be humble. We just want to be simple before You, Lord. And Father, Your thoughts and Your purposes, Lord, the greatness of Your plan. Father, just let it be done. Let it just continue to unfold itself. Do pray for each and every one of Your children that are here today. Pray Your special grace, Your special mercy upon each one. Father, thinking of our saints that are away at this time, we pray for them, for those meetings in Switzerland. Father, we just pray that You'll do exceedingly abundantly above what you could think. We even ask, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that Your mercy will be upon all that is said and done. Glorify Your name, Lord. Make Yourself known. Pour Yourself out upon Your sons and Your daughters, Lord, we ask and pray. Father, the saints that are still on holiday, we pray for them, Lord. Father, watch over them, Lord. And Father, Lord, our young people that are here, we do pray for them, Lord, in this evening time. Father, there's so much to distract. There's so much, Lord, to confuse. There's so much to pull this way and that. But Father, we thank You that there's a secret place. We thank You, Lord, there's a cleft in the rock. And Lord, we just want to come once again upon this day to the rock that is higher than us. And Father, we just want to seek refuge in Jesus' side, Lord, and just wash us and keep us and protect us and guide us from this place even as we'd go. Father, as we'd go from this place, give traveling mercies to them that will travel. Bless the saints from Carlo. Continue to bless the meetings on Saturdays down there, we'd pray. Just continue to be in these things, Lord. And Father, we just want to give You the glory. Be with us as we finish this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, saints. Saints, just before we sing one song to dismiss, just to say, this is our last Sunday here. I'm sure we all do appreciate that. We've got some possibilities open. We let the saints know as soon as we know the certain people. We're waiting for them to phone back and different things. Just really feeling it's going to be that we're going to stay in the city. It just seems like there are some potential places round and about, so I think we'll all be satisfied with that anyhow. But please, keep knocking on the doors. We'll let the saints know maybe end of tomorrow how far we've got. There's a couple of leads which we're just following up on. If you've got anything as well, you just keep knocking on the door. Let us know. And let's just continue to look to the Lord to lead us to the next place. We have service here on Wednesday as normal. Let's come for prayer meeting. It'll be our last service here. And then by the grace of God, we'll let you know the plans from there. We do have alternative plans if we don't find a place by this weekend. Because the thing we're trying to do, we're not just trying to rush to take any place. I'm sure you're the same as me. I don't want to just take any place. This has been a real nice place. There's places we could take.
But I really do believe the Lord has a place for us. No, he has a place and we'll be satisfied there and he'll be satisfied with us being satisfied. So that's what we're just looking for and waiting for. So we're not in any panic. No, we are alternative things we can do as we wait. But let's just continue to look to him. That's all we're doing. And I was reading about Eliezer. We just want to be like Eliezer. Eliezer said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And that's it. If we're just in the line of duty, the Lord will lead us exactly to the right place. So do appreciate everybody's help, contributions. We appreciate all the pledges that have been made. Just ask saints, whoever's pledged, please, if you'd be kind enough as soon as you can, let Brother Virgus have the money. We'll keep it separate. So as soon as we do find a place, we'll have sufficient funds. But we really do appreciate the generosity of the saints. Like we said, we've had just over €1,000 pledged. About €1,053 has been pledged by saints. We do appreciate that. So with our, you know, tithes and different things, we can continue to afford. I'd say maybe 1,200, 15,000 a year. That's what you're looking for. 250 meters squared. Something that is suitable. Something we have some Sunday school rooms. Something that we have a place where we'll really be satisfied in that place. So we wait on the Lord. The Bible says, they that trust in him shall never be put to shame. Now I trust in him. He knows where we're going. So let's just continue to wait on him and continue to pursue the opportunities that come until we find the right place. So we do say, God bless you. As we dismiss, let's sing one song in Jesus' name.
Jesus, I want to die to my will, be born anew in your grace.
I will be done.
For as I am, I cannot please you, and all I want to see is your face. Oh, thine will be done, be done in my life. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done in my life. When I do good, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. I must decrease, he must increase. Your power in me is there, I believe. For this you bled on Calvary. Your pride's no longer a mystery. Oh, thine will be done. Be done in my life. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my own life. When I do good, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. Jesus, I want to die, you must live. In your word, there's grace to believe. I won't let you go till you bless me. Like Jacob, I wrestle till I'm free. Oh, thine will be done. Be done in my life. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my life. When I do good.